Music from Shelley Jacobs. It's called Small Green Island. Mal Pope and Julie Costello sang for us The Golden City. We heard from Kelly Willard, her song Like the Wind. 12.5 minutes after the hour. It is Monday, September the 30th. And this and, well, every Monday, we just delight in the company of Dr. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, and a biochemist. And Don brings us all kinds of interesting things to talk about. Don, including new internet service for you today, huh?
Well, yes, I do have a new internet service provider. There was another one that came in town, and this one seems to be actually working.
Well, I think so. We've had a lot of problems here in recent months where Don's communication can be kind of intermittent, and I think that's because in Texas, it's powered by a Mustang who is tethered to a millstone, and he goes round and round and round and powers the internet service provider. But somebody new is around. Who's the new company?
It's called People's uh-huh. Communication.
Okay.
And they're, I don't know how many states they're in. Maybe they're just in Texas. And anyway, they put, it really is a little frustrating because we have two fiber optic cables running in front of our property on the main road mm-hmm. here. And we can't tap into either one of them. And so,
well,
wow,
a little midnight operation there, Don. You go out there,
yeah, exactly.
Get your soldering iron and just go to work.
Two in the morning? Would that be out of the question? And you know, who owns these cables that you're not allowed to tap into them?
One of them is People's, but they put a. We have a little hill here called Moon Hill, and they finally put in a radio, you know, transmitter receiver on Moon Hill radio tower. And so that's how we're getting internet is through wireless.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Basically, which is what we had before, but the other company could not solve their problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish them well and farewell. Fare thee well out there. And we'll see how People's performs. It's good to have a solid signal from you, because what you bring to us is important and interesting. And today we're talking about GMO alfalfa. This is another article over at Mercola.com, and it has to do with the alfalfa crop. Tell us the significance of alfalfa, Don.
Well, alfalfa is a food source for our cattle, not only in this country, but in other parts of the world, especially in the winter when you don't have, you know, grass for the cows to eat. Alfalfa brings a lot of nutrients and proteins that they need to sustain themselves over the winter. So most of the alfalfa, about 85% of the alfalfa, goes to domestic use, and 15% of it actually gets exported. So it's an important crop. Something like 17 billion acres of alfalfa is grown in this country. Mm-hmm. So it has a pretty huge impact to our economy. And out of that 17 billion acres, about $8 billion, comes from that.
So no doubt Monsanto has had an interest in creating a genetically engineered alfalfa to resist again herbicides, correct?
That's right. They have designed, in their laboratories, of course, they've designed a Roundup-resistant alfalfa. And got that approved in 2011, and of course started selling it, I'm sure, for the 2012 crop. And we're already seeing devastating consequences of that. And alfalfa is one of those products that they, about 93% of the alfalfa that was grown before 2011 did not use a herbicide.
93%, okay.
93% of the alfalfa. So if there was ever a crop that didn't need to be genetically modified, this was one of them. And yet, Monsanto gets this, approved. And then with their strong-arm tactics that they use in against farmers, they are... slowly getting farmers to switch over by hook or crook.
Now, this would have been approved by the USDA a few years ago. They would have said, okay, go ahead and distribute this and grow it. But weren't there some reservations at the time?
Oh, there's tremendous reservations because alfalfa is a pollinating crop. It's a perennial, but it's still pollinating. And so that means that, you know, insects can take the pollen and distribute it to fields that are not GMO. So if your neighbor farmer, and this has been the story since GMO products have come out years and years ago, but it's a little worse. It's significantly worse with alfalfa because the pollen can be flown basically by bees and birds and other animals can travel, you know, a mile at least. Bees can pollinate over a mile area. So, you know, a farmer that decides, yeah, I'll try this GMO product and plants his field with it, his neighbor a mile away could be affected by the product. And this was the experts were against allowing approval of this product, or at least allowing general distribution of this GMO alfalfa for this very reason. And so here they go, the EPA and the USDA approve it, in ignoring again the experts' opinions. And this has happened time and time again in this field. And here we have, not more than a year after its introduction, contaminated alfalfa. And the reason why this contaminated alfalfa was even found was because, like I said, about 16% of the alfalfa is exported. And it's exported to countries like Japan and Korea and China and other countries that do not allow GMO products into their country. So a farmer was trying to sell his, he was doing his usual thing and selling his excess.
His organically produced alfalfa, yeah.
Yeah, producer of alfalfa, and was selling his non-GMO alfalfa. And he was rejected, his alfalfa was rejected because it was contaminated with GMO. Mm. So, needless to say, he was quite disturbed. And a lot of other folks started getting into the business. This was in Washington State. And Washington now is testing all of their agricultural alfalfa to see how much is contaminated with Monsanto's. Now, here's a case where you would think, well, you know, if Monsanto would do the right thing, they would reimburse this fellow for contaminating his crop and say, okay, well, you had this loss of income, we'll go ahead and reimburse you. Monsanto's usual tactic is to sue the farmer for not paying license for the
unlicensed GMO alfalfa. Yeah, that's incredible. That's just unbelievable.
Now, I don't know if Monsanto's doing it in this case, but they've done it over and over and over again with the corn.
Yeah, and you say that now the USDA is paying attention and they're trying to resolve this somehow, but I'm also wondering if they're conscious of how badly their system messed up and maybe fixed the way they approve these things and who they listen to and who they don't. But I think money probably speaks louder than the facts on the ground, huh?
Well, that seems to be the case these days.
It sounds cynical.
A lot of different areas, and this is certainly no exception, and has been, you know, money speaks, and reason and rational thinking has no part to play in these things. And, you know, you ask yourself, well, you know, what's the big deal? So all farmers have to go to GMO alfalfa. Well, the big deal is that this is really crony capitalism when you look at it. Mm-hmm. It is you know, here's one industry, one in this case, one company that has this idea to continually to expand their market because they want more and more money. They're not satisfied with their billions that they're already making, so they've got to. You know, I have nothing against a company making new products. I do have everything against a company forcing it down a consumer's, you know, throat in saying, you know, you must do it our way.
Well, so hey, Don, come on now. They got to pay all those lawyers.
Well, that's true. They do. And all the lawyers that have went over to the FDA to get this product approved and then came back to work for Monsanto, as some of the articles that we've referenced in the past.
Where's science in this? Now, when they get advice, when the USDA sits down with whoever they sit down with and get information from Monsanto, are they hearing from lawyers and executives, or are they hearing from biochemists, for example?
Well, they're hearing from scientists. They're hearing from geneticists, you know, in the field that say, hey, guys, you can't allow this to happen because we're not going to have any native or heritage alfalfa seeds anymore because this is going to contaminate the whole crop.
What do you suppose the danger is that all exports of alfalfa would be ceased then? I mean, how pervasive is this GMO alfalfa? This one farmer we talk about, but has this happened multiple times yet? Do we know?
I'm not aware of that. It's a big concern in Washington where it happened. And like I said, they're testing all the alfalfa now. It's only been a year. Like I said, the product was approved by the FDA in 2011. And so you've had 2012, 2013. So this is the second growing season for this particular product. It's like, well, you know, your neighbor's field is now contaminated, and then his neighbor's field next year will be contaminated. Mm-hmm. And even if he doesn't buy, you know, the GMO alfalfa. And so that will just, you know, spread exponentially. So I would say that probably it, you know, within maybe 5 years, most of the alfalfa is going to be GMO, whether the farmers want it or not.
And from a science standpoint, how do you fix this? How do you undo this kind of damage? How do you get back to the pure crop?
That's going to be very difficult because once the cat is out of the bag, it's like, you know, herding a bunch of cats. I mean, it would be almost like you'd have to burn all of the alfalfa, all of this particular product, and somehow, you know, I mean, you would test, for example, a pure strain while we still have time of alfalfa, and you say, okay, well, this one's pure, and so you save the seed, you know, back from that, and then you burn everything else. And so you're talking about billions of dollars in lost revenue if, you know, we needed to go back there. And, of course, you know, the FDA is not going to say that will need to happen because they're the ones who approved it. And the USDA and, you know, the governmental agencies are not going to demand this. So it's almost like, well, you know, leave it up to the states to deal with the problem. And
A farmers organization? I mean, and I suspect there aren't that many organic farmers that could get together and mount a challenge to Monsanto. But I suspect they could reach a lot of people with this information if they knew how to use the media that exists now. You know, publicize this problem.
One would think, but you're up against, of course, billions of dollars. I mean, and I'll give you an example. There's another proposition for labeling GMO products this time in the state of Washington. It's People's Initiative 522, and Monsanto out of the I think it's $8 billion that have or $8 million that have been raised, or $11 million that have been raised to campaign against People's Initiative 522, 4.8 million came from Monsanto. And then they were followed by DuPont and the Grocery Manufacturers Association are the ones that are donating to fight labeling, you know, against the product. And, of course, you can see, well, okay, Monsanto and any ag chem company that is making these type of products or doesn't want their products labeled because people aren't completely, you know, dumb, that they're smart, and they said, oh, this is GMO. So I'm not going to buy that product. I'm going to buy this product over here that's non-GMO. So the first,
it's pretty much the same coalition that was so effective against the California proposition, huh?
Well, it is, but even that kind of backfired. And here's the here's the positive side: even all of the publicity that was against Proposition 37 in California last year. Kind of backfired on Monsanto in that a lot of things were brought up in the discussions or in the arguments or probably there was a lot of yelling
during the campaign.
I can imagine during the campaign you know, it made people more aware of the issue. And so, you know, it's like anything. If you've got a heated debate going on, people who are in the peripheral are going to say, you know, what is that all about? And eventually they'll hopefully get the truthful information and not the propagandized information from the big, you know, ag chem companies and the grocery store associations.
Well, this impresses me as nothing less than biological warfare, you know, for financial gain as opposed to political gain.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's... Well, it's political economic gain, of course, political gain for those, you know, that are in power, and economic gain for the ag chem companies, because they want to continue making and selling their products that they've spent their research dollars on. Now, you know, something like Roundup Ready, Roundup Resistant products, all they're doing now is it's pretty standard molecular biology where they're inserting these genes into various crops and then kicking them out the door. So it's not the initial big heavy research that was done initially. This has become kind of a cookie cutter type of research now. So they're not spending a whole lot of money in developing these products.
So this would be a high profit endeavor on their part, then.
Yeah, it's a high, very high profit, and as well as now, you know, remember who makes Roundup? Roundup is made by Monsanto, so Monsanto is pushing crops that are Roundup resistant, so that they can sell more Roundup or glyphosate, which is glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup. And you know, to remind our listeners of the problems of glyphosate, which we've mentioned before you know, on this program, there are all kinds of negative effects to our bodies, much less the animals. Glyphosate attacks our endocrine system, so it disrupts, for example, you know, our hormones. So if in kids, it causes all kinds of problems. It causes infertility in women. It causes some child death, and it causes all kinds of, you know, autism, for example, has been linked. There's a strong correlation between the appearance of glyphosate on the market and a dramatic, almost exponential increase in autism. The correlation is very, very high between those. It causes inflammatory bowel disease. The other property of glyphosate is that it's a broad, kind of a broad spectrum antibiotic. And so, you know, we think, well, you know, these farmers are just spraying glyphosate to kill the weeds. That's not affecting the plant. Well, guess what? The plant takes the glyphosate into its system, and it, of course, distributes it to every cell in the plant. So it's in the pollen. It's in the if it's corn, it's in the kernels of the corn. Once the corn gets pressed into oil, it's in the oil. So it's in it's in the cornmeal. It's in pretty much everything these Roundup resistant products, whether it be corn, soy, or wheat, and now alfalfa, it will be in pretty much everything that we eat, and it's causing these devastating effects. It's been linked to certain types of cancer. It's been linked to kidney failure. So these are not. This is not to be taken, lightly. It is a major problem, and we need to know. Which products are we eating are not only genetically modified, but which products are farmers using Roundup is another issue. So the first battle is to get GMO labeling on our products, and the second battle is to get, which of these products are you using glyphosate, with?
Well, I'm sorry, David, go ahead. You had a thought?
Well, I'm thinking, and then this is not an excuse for not doing anything, but, that the battle just begins, because then it's a matter of convincing the people who buy the stuff that the GMO is even if they do see it in the labels, it's not a good product to buy. The vast majority of the population gleefully goes to their local Cubs and Super Values and buys the stuff in the middle of the store. They love processed foods, and I don't know if they're not hearing the same messages that the rest of us are, that processed food is hard on your heart, that it's high in salt, it's high in all kinds of these bad things. But it seems like the vast majority of the population either doesn't care or doesn't know. We're dealing with a not a silent majority, but an ignorant one.
Well, and if you go to the grocery store and you try to buy organic, you know that you're going to be spending more for organic food than for non-organic food. And unfortunately, now that the we've got GMO alfalfa, you can't even buy beef, or organically grown beef is going to be come into question, because if the farmers are even feeding them, non-GMO alfalfa, and that turns out to be contaminated, well, your beef is now contaminated and is now GMO.
Of course, organic farmers are going to have to go the expense of having their crops tested to know what they're getting.
Exactly.
How would we know? How do we know? I mean, we go out and buy, and you go to the guy south of town here in South Long Lake, and you buy a cow. How do you know? I mean, you can take his word for it, but
you're going to have to turn these organic farmers into scientists themselves, I think.
Well,
yeah, and I think, let's take a biblical turn here. at the end of times that, there'll be plagues and pestilence. I think this is a plague on our society, personally. That actually the Bible predicted that would come. Because here's man mucking around with nature, and of course, we know better than God, and we can produce a better product than God can, and here we're contaminating the earth with these type of things. We're contaminating the seeds that farmers have planted for years that we rely on for our health. And finding that, I wonder why people are getting obese or why they have diabetes. Well, those diseases are linked to glyphosate as well. Mm-hmm. We're causing diseases for people in this country by our farming techniques and by these big ag chem products that have been forced on the farmers.
You know what this reminds me of, and there are people that laugh at this and think it's fiction, but I'm not convinced it's fiction. We go back to the Roman Empire and the city of Rome and lead plumbing, you know, where open lead water channels handled the city's water from the aqueducts and managed to carry with it a certain amount of lead into the population, which results in all kinds of health problems and mental problems in particular. And there are some that have gone so far as to blame the downfall of the empire, the strange wacko decisions and the behavior of the authorities in Rome on lead poisoning. But whether or not that happened, that kind of an effect is so subtle, you wonder how a society as large as ours and with as many dollars at stake can counteract this.
Well, that's right. And then when you have a supposedly governmental agency or agencies that are supposed to be protecting your health, these agencies were set up to safeguard our health in cahoots with these folks, to produce products like this and not put in the safeguards that are needed in order to keep this stuff under control.
Well, you say in cahoots, we can be a little more specific because we've talked about at least one person and maybe a couple who have gone back and forth between employment as attorneys for Monsanto and being employed by the USDA and the EPA.
And the FDA. He was employed by the FDA, but it's the FDA that actually approves these products. Mm-hmm. So, you look at this and you're saying, wow, it's almost like your example with Rome, the lead pipes were, if you will, government approved. Mm-hmm. So they went from the stone or the clay pipes, let's say, to these lead government approved pipes, which then caused problems with their population and the health of their people. So now we are going from natural seeds to these genetically modified seeds and the chemicals to, take care of, in quote, weeds.
But at least Rome could claim ignorance. They didn't know about lead poisoning.
What exactly?
We know better,
We're worse. We're worse because scientifically we know that, especially after all of these years, we know that these products are causing damage, and papers are coming out, if not every couple of months, at least yearly, major papers are coming out with one aspect or another saying that, we really should look at this. Here's a correlation. The correlation coefficient is very, very high between the onset of these products and this particular disease. And the disease list just keeps getting longer and longer. I mean, the ailments, for example, hyperactivity disorder has been linked, autism, dementia, Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. I mean, these are just, some mental, illnesses that we can't explain. But yet, the incidence of these things are going up in direct proportion to how much glyphosate, for example, is used on our crops.
How effective do you think is the testimony of the rest of the world, those nations who will not accept GMO products because of their concern for the health of their people? I mean, shouldn't that speak loudly to the FDA as well?
One would think, but the FDA is obviously controlled by these large ag chem companies, mm-hmm. Monsanto being the major player here.
And that would be the responsibility of our elected legislators to know that and do something about it, wouldn't it? David, this is your department.
Yes, it would. If you follow the natural conclusion, if alfalfa is infected and then that spreads to beef and that spreads to other crops, we will get to the point very quickly, I would think, that we can't export anything.
anything agriculture. Because everything's contaminated. is that accurate? Is that within the realm?
Fair assumption.
Yeah, I think it's quite accurate to say that, hey, you know, other countries aren't going to put up with this, and they're going to, you know, of course they need the food. So what are they going to do in the long run? But I'm sure there's other countries that are willing to grow it for them. Who loses in this? It's the American, you know, the American people, and of course the farmers are the biggest losers because they, you know, here's a farmer in Washington can't sell his crop that he put time and money into, and was anticipating that, hey, my crop is clean and now it's dirty.
Interesting. And there's a link to the article on this very subject on GMO alfalfa that we will post with the podcast later today. And it takes you to Mercola.com. You can actually go there directly, Mercola.com, MERCOLA.com. And Dr. Mercola has just a page after page of information about GMOs. And this you could search for alfalfa, GMO alfalfa. It'll take you right to this article. But again, we'll post the link with our along with the podcast of our conversation with Dr. Don. Dr. Don Clark is a member of the board at Creation Moments, and that's a marvelous ministry. You can it's a wealth of resources there for you. You can link to them from our website if you're listening on BrokenRoadRadio.com. Over at the right-hand side of the page, there's a link directly to Creation Moments, but it's CreationMoments.com, and they have a lot to offer, as do you, Don. Don, as always, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
And the new internet system just worked flawlessly today.
I think we should. Hallelujah.
It was clear all the way through.
Yeah, I think we should send them a thank you note of some kind here. Anyway, Bert Kempfert resumes the music for us on a Broken Road Radio Monday.